We're on the prayer line tonight, the Global Mission Prayer Network. We're teaching, actually finishing up, this is part four on the series, Where Do Curses Come From? We talked last time about how we can bring curses on ourselves and on our family through our disobedience, but curses can come on us also through the disobedience of our ancestors, through things that they might have done wrong, even things that folks might say against us. And one of the things we talked about last time was how we bring curses on ourselves when we hold on to offenses, when we hold on to grudges, hold on to unforgiveness. And we talked about how that's just incredibly destructive to us and our families to do that. Sometimes that kind of attitude is passed down from our ancestors, the families that are used to just doing that kind of thing. Sometimes it's what we're doing. And that brings curses. We talked about how there's no spiritual warfare prayers for getting rid of those kind of curses. There's a two-step process. Number one, you have to be like God is, and that is don't take into account the wrong suffered in the first place. Don't be offended in the first place. God doesn't count our sins against us. Why should we count the sins of others against them? We looked in Romans 14 how we should not be judging another person's servant. And then the second step is to actually forgive. And we talked about how sometimes that is, if not difficult, is sometimes impossible. And so we have to let Jesus, who lives in us, lives through us, we have to let him do the forgiving. We have to get out of his way and let him do that. Now, we talked a lot about how we've seen a lot of this in Kenya, but this is not a Kenyan problem. This is a worldwide problem. The Christian community, everybody at some point has suffered from holding on to offenses, holding on to grudges, taking offense up from somebody else. And we got to get clear of that, or we are hindering the work that God wants to do here on this planet. Now, before I leave this topic, I want to share with you a secret. This is the secret to being able to forgive and not hold on to offenses. And if you understand this concept, you'll not take the offense in the first place, and you'll be able to quickly forgive. The enormous problems that come from taking in offenses, holding grudges, holding on to unforgiveness are magnified in our family relationships, the very closest relationships, especially in marriages. And those relationships can be destroyed by holding on to offenses. Do you know why your spouse offends you and makes you so angry? Listen to this, because I'm going to tell you the secret. Do you know why your spouse offends you and makes you so angry? It's because they're flawed, they're twisted, they've been scarred by life, they've been wounded, they have not surrendered every aspect of their life over to Jesus, they haven't learned yet how to let Jesus live through them, they're sinful, and they need forgiveness. Now, does that sound familiar by any chance? That kind of behavior, where that comes from, this idea that we're all flawed and broken and, you know what, that's the way they are, and they direct that brokenness at you. It's not about you. It's about their own brokenness. Don't you have a little brokenness yourself? Can't we all identify with that? Who listening would not say, I've fallen into that category. So why are we surprised when someone does something stupid or hurtful and offends us? Why are we shocked when they say something like that to us? I mean, we're just so shocked. We're so indignant that we're going to show them. We're going to hold on to that offense and hold on to that grudge and show them how imperfect they are. Isn't that just the epitome of arrogance on our part? We, the flawed and broken, we're going to hang on to the offense of someone else who is flawed and broken. Talk about judging another person's servant. So the next time somebody you love hurts you, remember this secret and thank God for all the grace that he has poured out on you, all the times he's forgiven you, all the times he's released you from all of the broken, flawed, sinful things that you have done. Remember this secret, and you'll not take in the offense in the first place, and you'll even be able to let go and forgive people. Now, there's one practical note that I want to get to before we leave this topic. And because folks will say, yeah, but they offended me, they did something wrong, I can't be buddy buddies with them. Well, that may be true. You know what? Just because they offended you and you forgave them doesn't mean you have to pal around with them. If you loaned them money and they didn't pay it back, forgive them the debt, but you don't have to loan them any more money. I mean, unless the Holy Spirit tells you to. They were mean to your children. Okay, forgive them for that. Don't hold into the offense. But maybe you don't let them be around your children anymore. They're not reliable. Okay, forgive them for that, but don't rely on them. You see what I'm saying? You don't have to continue behaviors that you know are going to be hurtful to you, but you do have to forgive, and you can't hold on to the offense. That is unless you want to bring curses on yourself. Okay, now let's talk about another area. Let's go back to this idea of ancestral curses and talk about how sometimes things that our ancestors do related to witchcraft, the occult, demonology, those kinds of things, how what they do in that arena, your ancestors, can come down to you and cause curses on you and your family. It's really a curse based on disobedience, but it's a little bit different because this class of disobedience actually pulls in evil spirits. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 18, okay? Deuteronomy chapter 18, and we're going to look at verses 10 through 14. I may not read all of those, but let's get started. Deuteronomy 18 and 10. There shall not be found among you. This is God talking now to the children of Israel. You better not have amongst you anybody who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, one who uses divination, one who practices witchcraft, one who interprets omens or a sorcerer, or who casts spells or a medium or a spiritist or calls for the dead. Whoever does these things is detestable to the Lord, and because of these detestable things, the Lord your God will drive them out before you. God gives a long list of occult practices that he finds detestable, and he makes no bones about it. Don't do this. Why? Why do you think God is so upset when we do those kind of things? I think the first thing is, because when we look to fortune tellers, we look to the occult, we're looking there for wisdom, we're looking there for guidance, we're looking there for what are we supposed to do next. God wants us to go to him for those things. He doesn't want us to be going to essentially demons for those things, because that's what spiritism is and fortune telling and stuff. You're really consulting demons. Why would we want to do that? And the other reason is because indeed it opens us up to demonic forces, to evil spirits, because that's what the occult is. It's consulting demons. Now, just like any other disobedience, those who practice witchcraft and the occult bring curses down on their ancestors. But this kind of disobedience is even worse. I mean, it's a whole nother dimension of sin because it opens up doors for demons. And they leave your family vulnerable to demonic attacks. And the problem is, you may not even know that's what's happening. There could be familiar spirits hanging around you. Demons that actually started demonizing your ancestors before you were born. They're unclean spirits that were originally invited into your family line by your ancestors because they practiced witchcraft or the occult or some kind of perpetual or repeated sinful practices. And those spirits kept hanging around and kept getting stronger and stronger. They became familiar to your family. Now, why would these familiar spirits continue to hang around us after we've been saved? I have a theory on this. It's based on prophetic words. It's based on my personal experience. I can't give you a single scripture that confirms this, but let me tell you what I think. I think that demons are fed by our negative or destructive emotions. And so what they do is they lie to us, they entice us, they goad us into a place where we begin to exhibit destructive or negative emotions, and then they feed on those emotions and they get stronger and stronger. So this kind of ancestral curse that brings in demonic spirits, it can act in concert with behaviors and attitudes that you've learned from your ancestors that they passed down. And because those attitudes and stinking thinking can actually feed into the attacks of familiar spirits, you have to deal with both your attitudes and you have to deal with the familiar spirits. This is another reason why inner healing is so important so that we can renew our minds from our stinking thinking, so we can bring our minds and allow God to help bring our minds into this transformed state where He is literally living through us in an unhindered way so that all the doors to demonic spirits are closed. Now, one of the things that's difficult about ancestral curses in general is that they're insidious. Insidious in that they're hidden. You don't know what your ancestors did, and yet you're feeling the effects of it. You're feeling the curses from it. And unless the Holy Spirit reveals to you that that's where this is coming from, you're oblivious. Well, this is my suggestion. In a minute, I'm going to demonstrate for you a prayer to break ancestral curses. And the idea is just pray this prayer. Don't worry about all the details. Don't worry about knowing all the bad things that your ancestors did. Just break off of you and yours all the curses that may have come on you. And then if there's anything left over that needs to be dealt with at the right time, the Lord will show you that and He'll give you a chance to deal with it. But in dealing with ancestral curses really involves two parts. One is dealing with the familiar spirits, the spiritual curses themselves, and the other is dealing with the behavioral, the attitude, the emotional issues that often leave us open to demonic attack. And so a prayer to break ancestral curses is going to have to cover both of these areas. And so let me warn you about something about dealing with ancestral curses while I'm thinking about it. You're going to pray this prayer over you and yours, maybe a prayer like the one I'm going to show you here in a minute. It's a very powerful prayer, and you can pretty much pray it once and you're done. It's not like you have to pray this prayer every day or you have to keep going back over and over and over and over everything. Like I said, later the Lord may show you an area that needs to be dealt with, and so you can deal with that then. But deal with it and go on. Understand that it's not about how you pray. The effectiveness of your prayer isn't going to be based on the accuracy of your words or how smart you are. You're going to pray this prayer in the authoritative, very powerful name of Jesus, the one who has authority over all demonic spirits and all curses, and you're going to break the curses off in His name. It's the power of His name that's going to do the breaking, and it's going to get rid of the familiar spirits. It's not how good your prayer was. So you pray the prayer knowing that Jesus is the victor in this situation, and then you move on with your life. Now, you still have, after praying this prayer, you still have some areas that have to be dealt with. And those are about spiritual growth, spiritual maturity, healing in your emotions and in your mind, those things that involve your mind. Unfortunately, that's usually one of the most difficult areas to deal with, but that's just part of normal Christian maturity. It doesn't have anything to do with evil spirits. So dealing with the demonic spirits from ancestral curses and dealing with those curses themselves, that's actually the easy part, okay? It's the part dealing with ourselves that oftentimes end up being more difficult. So I'm going to give you four steps for going through dealing with ancestral curses. And it starts with repenting of any sin that you may have committed. Sins you've committed are even wrong attitudes or wrong reactions on your part. Anything that the Lord has brought to your mind about wrong behaviors, occult practices that you did way in the past, anything like that, make sure that you start by repenting. Number two, you need to repent on behalf of your ancestors. What? We repent for somebody else? Turn with me to Daniel 9. Daniel 9, and we're going to read how Daniel did exactly this for the children of Israel. Remember how Job prayed for his children, repented on behalf of his children? This is a scriptural concept that's valid, and we need to do it. Daniel 9, let's look at verses 3 through 6. And then if you're writing this down, we're also going to look at verse 16 and then verse 19. Daniel 9:3. So I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek Him by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Sackcloth and ashes is representative of repentance. I prayed to the Lord my God, and I confessed and said, "Alas, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps His covenants and loving kindness for those who love Him and keeps His commandments." And then listen to this. We have sinned. We've committed iniquity. We've acted it wickedly and rebelled, even turning aside from your commands and ordinances. Moreover, we haven't listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to the kings, our princes, our fathers, and to all the people of Israel." So Daniel starts off saying, "I'm going to repent on behalf of my people, and I'm even going to confess what we've done. I'm going to say some of the things that I know of that we have done." You can do the same thing. Verse 13, he says, as is written in the law of Moses, all this calamity has come upon us. In other words, generational curses have come down because of the disobedience. And we understand that. "Yet we have not sought the favor of our Lord, our God, by turning from our iniquity and giving attention to your truth." He's still repenting here. And then in verse 16, he asks God to forgive. "O Lord, in accordance with all your righteous acts, let now your anger and your wrath turn away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain. For because of our sins and iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and the people have become a reproach to those around us." It is okay to repent and confess on behalf of someone else and ask God to forgive them. And that can be for witchcraft, the occult, or having affairs or adulterous things or abortions or anything else you can think of. That's okay. Step 3 is a process of renouncing. You need to renounce any participation that you have had in witchcraft or the occult, Ouija boards, horoscopes, tarot cards, fortune tellers, anything like that, and renounce any participation that your ancestors had in those things. You'll hear that in this prayer in a minute. And then the fourth thing is you want to bind up any demonic forces that have gained access to your life through your ancestors. And of course, you're going to do this in the authority of the name of Jesus. You're going to bind them up and you're going to break them off of you. So listen to this prayer that I would pray for breaking ancestral curses. I have prayed this over others and myself, as a matter of fact. "Father, I repent on behalf of me, my family, my ancestors, and anyone who might have purposely or accidentally brought curses on me and my family. Bring us to a place of humility and repentance so that we can honestly say that we are truly sorry and that we humbly repent. Most merciful God, I confess that I have sinned against you, myself and my family, by my own actions," and then list those actions as much as you know. "In the name of Jesus, I renounce any evil, occult, or satanic practices done by me or any of my ancestors. I renounce evil practices that I know of, including," and mention those things that you know of. "Now, in the name of Jesus, I bind up any demonic entities or familiar spirits who have gained access to my family through my ancestors, and I drive them away from me and my family. In the name of Jesus, I forbid their operations around us in any way, and I command them to leave me and my family and not return. In the name of Jesus, I cut any soul ties that might pull me back into any of these curses, and I break the connections these ancestral spirits have with us so that they can't find us in the spirit. In the name of Jesus, I break off of me and my family any curses that have stuck to us for any reason, and I command them to fall around us dead and inert. Now, Father, bring me and my family to a place of inner healing so that all the wounds, traumas, dysfunction caused by these ancestral curses can be healed and removed from our lives." That's dealing with ancestral curses. It might be considered spiritual curses. I want to talk about another subject just briefly, and that's curses that might come down through our DNA. You know, sometimes incest, inbreeding, among other things, can cause genetic defects. And those defects then get stored in, passed down into your DNA, and then from your DNA down into your line, your children, your grandchildren. And we need to break those curses off of us too. But breaking that kind of curse, this is not a spiritual curse. This is not about spiritual warfare. This is really a prayer of healing. What you're doing is you're praying healing over your genes, over your DNA, and those of your children and your grandchildren. My wife comes from a family that has an eye condition. The nickname is RP, and it causes blindness. And everybody, every part of her family has been affected by this. Maybe not every person, but every generation of every leg of the family, somebody has this disease. And so when Debbie and I first met, she got baptized in the Holy Spirit. We started talking about ancestral curses. She said, I need to break this stuff off of me and make sure that it doesn't get passed down to our children and grandchildren. So we agreed. I'm going to give you an example of a prayer that we prayed together. And we broke those curses off, and sure enough, it has not come on her, it has not come on any of our children, it's not come on any of our grandchildren, and it's not going to, because we've been healed. You don't need to beg and plead God for healing and pray every day over your family about this. This is just like praying for any other kind of healing. You pray for it, and then you move on. So let me give you an example of how that prayer might sound. In the name of Jesus, I speak to my DNA, my genes, and those of my children, and I command that our DNA be healed and set free from any ancestral curses. Father, I send your word of healing into our DNA to bring our DNA in line with your vision, your word for us and our bodies. And so in Jesus' name, I break off of us any ancestral curses that have been passed down to us through our DNA, and I command that these curses no longer have any effect on us. So that kind of concludes dealing with curses from ancestors. I want to now look at a couple of other areas of curses. One of them is our associations. You know, sometimes we become associated with a group or a company or an organization, and those folks are doing something that is against the commands of God. And by doing that, they're going to be bringing curses on that organization. And if you're part of the organization, then you're going to be subject to those curses. That can be a family, where families are operating in disobedience, and you may have to break and renounce that kind of attitude off your family. But it can also be organizations, especially where you have to pledge some kind of oath of loyalty, or where they have views that are definitely against the Bible. They are for abortion. They are for anything that God doesn't stand for. If you're part of that organization, you're going to experience some of the curses that they have. Just like if you're a Christian and you work for a company, that company will be blessed by your working for them. But if you're part of the marketing department, for instance, and they're asking you to defraud customers in your marketing, you need to break off any relationship with that, because the curses from those disobedient acts that company is doing, is bringing onto them, is going to bleed off into you, into yours. And so have you associated with a group or an organization that's being cursed because of disobedience or attitudes against God? Then repent and renounce any part that you may have had in bringing those curses. Pray a prayer to break those curses off you and yours, and then disassociate with that group as much as possible. And then you can go on and be free with life. Now let's talk about another category of curses, and that's curses that essentially folks send your way, like from witches and witches' covens. And yes, there really are witches and witches' covens, and they can cast curses on us. And just like we can bless people and that's real, so folks can curse us and that's real. Remember the story of Balaam. He was asked to curse Israel. If curses weren't real, God would have said, Balaam, I don't care what you say about Israel, because I've blessed them already. But God didn't say that. He said, do not curse Israel. That's because curses are real. And so just like you can bring curses down on yourself through bad behavior, people can send curses to you. And if someone is cursing you, you need to pray spiritual warfare prayers against those people and against those curses. And in the name of Jesus, break them off of you. Let me give you a couple of examples. Once upon a time in a galaxy far, far away, in a business I had, I hired a fellow, unbeknownst to me, who was a druid. And as it turned out, his wife was a witch, and she was part of a satanic coven there in the area. One night, in the middle of the night, Debbie and I had been sleeping peacefully. All of a sudden, both of us at the same time, we sat up in bed and woke up, and we felt terror in our hearts. And we realized that something's wrong. This is not good. And so we started praying, and the Lord revealed to us that witch's coven is cursing y'all. And so we prayed a spiritual warfare prayer, broke the curses, sent them back, and in the name of Jesus, of course. And that, and then we were able to go back to sleep, and we never had any problems after that. A friend of mine named Mark was living in Seattle. He's a Kenyan. His wife was back home in Kenya, and it was sort of her responsibility to build their house. And so she was shepherding that process and making sure materials arrived, and the materials would arrive and it wouldn't be the right materials, or they would build a wall and the wall would fall down. It wasn't built right. Or workers would show up and they wouldn't have the right skill set or tools. They just could, they'd been working for months and they couldn't make any progress getting their house built. And so he called, asked me to pray with him about this. And I, as I was listening to this, I heard the Holy Spirit say, somebody's cursing them. And so I asked him about it. He said, well, yeah, as a matter of fact, there's this witch that lives across the way from us. And every once in a while, she'd come out on her back porch and she'll shake her fist and holler at my wife and curse us and tell us we can't build a house there and that we need to leave and that sort of thing. And I kind of laughed. And so I taught him about breaking spiritual curses. And we prayed a prayer of spiritual warfare prayers over this. And 6 months later, I got a call from him. He said, the house is nearly finished. And oh, by the way, that witch, she left and she's gone now. So yes, people can curse us, and God wants to make sure that we can get out from underneath those curses through the name of Jesus. In conclusion, we've discovered that curses can come to us. They're real. They can affect our lives. They can affect those of our family. They can come from our disobedience. They can come from occult practices. They can come from other people sending curses to us. But I want to warn you about something. Not everything bad that happens to us is a curse, okay? As a matter of fact, most things that happen to us have nothing to do with curses. They're just the way the world is. The world's broken. We're in a fallen world. We do stupid things. Other people do stupid things. It has nothing to do with being cursed. So it's not like under every rock, around every corner is a curse that's affecting you. But sometimes curses do come our way. Sometimes they stick to us. And when that happens, Jesus has delegated his authority to us to deal with all evil in the name of Jesus Christ. We can drive away curses of all kinds. Now, we may need to do a little repenting, or maybe even some renouncing. We may have to change some of our own ways that invited curses upon us. And we may need to close up mental and emotional doors that have allowed the enemy to have access to us. But dealing with curses is really not that hard. It's certainly not scary. And if we deal with the curses that come our way, we can walk in the freedom and peace that Jesus died to guarantee that we have.